Greetings. I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, through the web on cfru.ca, and going to be live streaming as well as being able to see visual images on CFRU's YouTube channel. I'm your master overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond at progressive rock, the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative genres, and a fantastic anomaly and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome, good centuries, listeners, and future viewers to a new An Audience in the Observational Tower, the music interview series that I conduct through the SMK here at CFRU. Today, we are skewed the focus, our gaze upon a Guelph local musician and especially a harpist, i.e. the Naked Harpist, a.k.a. Leslie Shapiro. Hey, Leslie, can you hear me?
I can. Hey, Nick.
Oh.
That sounds really echoey.
Oh, a little reverb echo. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good. We're going to be listening to a few of your songs. You have a few covers as well as originals. And talk and conversate together about all your musicking and future and past endeavors.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. It's fantastic to have a harp in the studio. I think maybe that's the first time we've had one, at least to my knowledge. Why don't we start with a few songs that you will perform? What will you be playing for us first?
Okay, well, I'm going to start with an original that I call Player, and then I'm going to play a remix of Trap Queen by Fetty Wap that I call University Queen.
Awesome. That's so great. Here is the Naked Harpist here performing at CFRU 93.3 FM on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope.
Tempting, but I've got good taste too, and I'm I am a queen. You treat me fairly in these games you play with me. But I'm no player, baby. I coach my own team. So the next song that I'm going to play is the cover. I've changed the words. So it's called University Queen. Hello, I seen your pretty eyes soon as you walked in my door. But I just wanna study, got no time for us to roam. I'm married to my homework, introduce Victor Hugo, then show you how to analyze your word count is too low. University queen, let me hit the bookstore. We be counting intervals, watch our minds grow. We just set a goal, Dean's List 3 years in a row. Tuition 6 racks, but my books cost 7 low. Man, I swear I love all the stuff that you know. Hit trivia, we be letting hands go. Everybody's hating, that's just peer review though. We're in love with that money, we ain't never earning no. I get high with my baby, except in science I'm just getting by with my baby. I could study all night with my baby, in the library counting pie with my baby. Get high with my baby, music class I don't gotta try with my baby. I could study all night with my baby, then work at Starbucks for my whole life making cappuccinos.
That was The Naked Harpist here on The Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope on CFRU 93.3 FM. Leslie, that was very beautiful.
Thanks so much.
So what were those songs again?
The first one was called Player. That was an original. And the second one was my cover of Fetty Wap's Trap Queen, which I call University Queen.
Certainly fits the university campus environment, especially with the start of the new school year. Yes, it's a very nice pleasure to have you here in the station. And as a matter of fact, you are my 20th musical guest on the show.
Cool, Jubilee guest.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself, like some interesting little tidbits?
Okay, well, I attend the University of Guelph here. I'm in my last year studying French, and I'm hoping to become a teacher. Something that I love in Guelph is I facilitate a youth group with a couple of my friends, Kim and Drew. So that's at Brant Ave School. And if any youth are listening, grade 7 and up, mostly geared towards high school students, you guys should come. It's a drop-in at Brant Ave School, Thursdays, 6 to 9 p.m. I also love working with kids. I run a summer camp in the summers, so... yeah, that's my main passion. And I have a daughter of my own who's 9. Her name's Sally. Shout out to Sally. Hey, Sally.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks.
Incredible. Yeah, you like to work with a lot of youth, it seems. Is that, I guess something you're passionate about, like supporting our little people and showing them like good lessons?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm passionate about social justice work, and I think so are youth. So it's important to collaborate with the young people. For all kinds of reasons. And I mean, as I was mentioning earlier, I need like the tech support from the youth for functioning in today's world, just with running my own cell phone and stuff. But
Oh yeah, we were mentioning that. Apparently you can't get onto the university's Wi-Fi.
I still don't know how. But
after like 8 years, you said?
This is my 8th year now at this school without Wi-Fi still.
Well, you've survived.
Yeah. I'm from that older generation. Like, I only got a phone when I came to school so I could keep in touch with my family who was babysitting. So I'll survive.
Within those years, that's how we got to know each other and meet up. It was actually from the music department. How did we meet, actually?
I think it was when Jim Harley had invited me into the composition class you were in the composition class at the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a really cool project where the composition students, music composition at the University of Guelph, would write pieces for the harp. I would explain what the lever harp's all about, and then they would write the pieces and I would come back and perform them. You actually wrote the most challenging piece I ever tried to play any of the years that I did that. Maybe it's because you cared more about your piece, but that was the first year I came in to do that experience. Yeah.
But I guess was my piece, I guess, or it was called, I actually forget my piece's name. It was The Heron and the Sandpiper on something like that.
Yep.
Would you have been able to have played it with lots of practice?
Yeah, for sure. Even just with like a couple hours of solid like practice. I'm not used to being in situations anymore where like someone gives me a piece of sheet music and they're like, play exactly this. Like normally they're like, take this and run. So I think that was more what I was expecting to do. But yours was complex. There were changes all the way throughout. So I was like, okay, I get the vibe of this. And then like 3 pages in, you were like, Leslie, you've gone off the rails. But yeah, that was a sweet class and a great experience. That was like one of my favorite classes I've taken at Guelph.
Yeah, it's got me involved, like exposed to lots of instruments and actually seeing them in person. So actually let's now jump into the main subject here, the harp. We can, in the video, you'll see like the harp takes up most of the space, and it's wonderful to be able to display it and hear it on air. How did you get, or I should say, when did you first discover the harp?
Oh, well, my dad won a cassette tape and a draw at the Summer Folk Musical Festival, or not Summer Folk, it was Mill Race, that's like here local. And it was Anderson and Brown, which is like a folk duo, a harpist and guitar player, singer. And I just was obsessed with it. I didn't know what the harp looked like because it was just like a cassette tape, but I heard the sound of it and I really wanted to play it. So I begged my parents for one, and eventually they got me one when I was 7. I think they contacted Mary Anderson, the harpist, from
cassette
tape, and they were like, what is this thing? Like, how can we get into it? And she taught me lessons for a few years later on, once I was a little more skilled at the harp.
Yeah, so that must have been maybe just a smaller version of the one you have now?
Yeah, so the cool thing about harps is that they all start like around the same note. So I'm at this high C here. Super out of tune, but the smaller ones, they would also start from that similar, if it's not a C, it's like in that same octave. So the bigger harps, they just are adding on more octaves. So it's like when you play a smaller harp, it's like a keyboard versus the whole piano. So it's really easy to transfer a harpist. It's not like a kid's harp versus an adult's harp. Like I still play a smaller harp sometimes if I'm taking the bus. I actually brought this here on the bus today, but it's a smaller harp. It's a smaller version of the pedal harp, too.
How's your journeys on the bus with the harp?
It's all right. It's been pretty good. It's I've had some rough days, but mostly it's good. It's easier to fit the harp in the bus than into an Uber or a taxi. So I
can see that.
It's not like a huge deal when I have to take the bus. I call it the public limo.
Public limo for harps.
Yeah.
When you got that cassette and got your first harp, what has kept you going to perform and play the harp throughout these years?
Well, it's really, really intuitive and it's really straightforward. So that's something that's so great about it, especially like teaching kids and stuff. It's not like the violin that it takes a really long time to like get a good sound out of it. You can really quickly pick it up and it's a scale right in front of you. So it's easy to pick out tunes from the radio. I think I started picking out the first song I ever learned from the radio was when that Dido song with Eminem. My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of
bed. Oh, okay.
You know that one?
Yeah, I recognize it.
So yeah, I started like playing stuff like that. And it's always just been something that I've come back to. I haven't always been as serious about it when I was younger. But when I was a teenager, I did a lot of traveling. And I ended up deciding really early on that the harp was something that I needed to bring with me. So I've always had it.
Yeah, nice. It's a way to express yourself in many ways.
Yeah, and also process kind of what I'm feeling and what's going on around me, because I've always found that like learning popular music and like the music that like the youth are listening to, I feel like that's like a way that I keep in touch with what's going on, and then when I play with those songs and covers, then that's as you say, a good way to express myself.
And gain connections and, yeah, like with earlier generations, like we were talking about and that you're involved with in the community. So you did mention it also that this is a specific kind of harp, a lever harp. Do you actually, when you came in to do the demo for us in the composition class, I think that was the first time I learned about a lever harp. So why don't you explain what a lever harp is and what the difference that is to, well, I guess, maybe what people might have heard.
Yeah, okay. So most people, if you've seen a harp, it's like in the orchestra or like Mickey Mouse kind of thing. So those are pedal harps and they're giant. Sometimes they're like covered in gold and they have pedals at the back that you use to change key. So the strings on the harp, it's like all the white keys on a piano. We're all like in one key at a time. And on my harp, I have levers to change key instead of pedals. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can see I have levers on all the strings. Not all harps have levers on every string. So some harps that we call lever harps, they don't even have any levers. It just means like that you don't have a pedal. So if I want to change, so this is my C major chord. And if I want to change it to C minor, I would change my lever down from the E. So the difference between the pedal and the lever harp is just that if I want to change those notes, I have to do it manually while I'm playing. So as opposed to doing it with my foot, keeping my hands free.
Okay. So those changes are semitone, right?
Yeah, it's a semitone. Each lever is a semitone. So the other thing about it is that like I only have one. I've got one lever on each string, so I can only access two positions. So right now I've tuned my Bs and my Es flat, and the levers are up to make them neutral in the key of C. So I have access to those two flat keys or two flats as whatever accidentals. But if I want to put all my sharps up, I would have to retune.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yes, but the pedal harp, there's three positions, so you can be a little more wonky. But on the other hand, I can be even wonkier because I can have half my harp in one key and half my harp in the other key, or any combo I want. Like if I was going to use a C pedal, it would be all my Cs, whereas I can play like no diggity, one key up here, one key down here, and get that really funky sound.
Or go completely avant-garde and just do different strange tonalities in there.
Yeah,
have you tried it doing that?
I did once. It's hard because like you're tuned, so you've only got, you know, this many strings. Mm-hmm. But I did once. I was mentioning with the ensembles with Henry Jansen in a chamber music ensemble. We did a remix of Pachelbel's Canon in this trio that I was in. So we did that 12-tone thing where you like rearrange. You know what that's all about?
Yeah, like you'll have to play all the 12 tones in a row or in a different
before
series.
You repeat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had done one of our trio members had arranged it in that bizarre sounding way. And then I had arranged, I had taken some of it and put it into like a few different modes, from the weirder modes to the more, you know, ending in Aeolian. And then finally we played it as written. But since it was, since it was a canon, it started out sounding really messed up. And then like eventually, like you would hear a bit of music, a little bit of music that you'd recognize from one of us at a time. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. It was a surprise to the audience. We didn't put it in the, we just said that we were going to like play a piece of our own. Yeah. So then it took a while. You could see when people would recognize that it was Pachelbel's Canon. And so to play that, the end of that story was that I actually had three harps on the stage, because to play the 12 tones, I needed actually two harps, one that was like normal and one that was like the in-between tones, because I couldn't get that. I was trying to get like 42 tones into too small of a space. But then I had this other harp that I could like switch to as we went from one section to the other. I had all these different harps. Yeah.
Oh, that would have been a sight to see.
Yeah. I even, years later, I had a job interview and someone was like, "This is weird, but are you the woman who performed on multiple harps once?"
So. It's good that gives an impression.
Yeah, I got the job, so.
Oh, nice. why don't we, I'll mention, well, I'll ask this now. Why do you call yourself the Naked Harpist?
Oh, well, I've always called the harp the naked piano, because I don't know, well, obviously you've looked inside a piano, but mm-hmm. if our listeners have seen inside of a grand piano, there's the harp. And I always call it that just in a cheeky way to remind my students that the harp came first and it's like a cool original instrument. And yeah, I guess I got an Instagram account pretty recently in the grand scheme of things, but the Naked Pianist was already taken. So I tried a bunch of other stuff, as you do, and one of them just stuck, and it was the Naked Harpist. So yeah, I feel like really lucky that that's what stuck, because the Instagram really popped off. I feel like I've become Guelph famous ever since I got Instagram.
Nice. That's good to hear. Is there any other like meaning behind it? Or has it grown into a different meaning over the years? Or how long have you been called? Have you called yourself the Naked Harpist?
Well, I think it's been just over a year, actually, that I've had Instagram, because I started getting memories now. It shows you like 1 year ago today. I get a lot of like, I get a lot of messages asking me if I perform naked or if I'll like send naked pics to people. But no, I haven't yet. I guess when the price is right, maybe I would consider it. But I'm pretty modest with my photos and stuff, even just because like I'm going, it is cool to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. So nothing too risque. Totally just the meanings that you already know of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. It's great. Why don't we now go into another music segment that you'll be performing for us? What songs do you have planned?
Okay, I'm going to start with a cover of Hotline Bling by Drake, and then I'm going to play another original.
That one's called Soul, right?
Yes.
All right, so here's Hotline Bling and Soul by The Naked Harpist, here live on CFRU 93.3 FM and on CFRU's YouTube here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. Thank you.
drinks gin, Robin drinks red wine. All the pretty ladies, mine, mine, mine. You can keep your silver, I want gold. You can keep your silver, but I'm keeping my soul. You can keep your silver, oh, but why? What would you do with all of the pleasures you'd buy? Love or poker, baby, everyone folds. You can be the winner, but I'm keeping my soul. Gin, Robin drinks red wine. One and then another, feeling fine. Gold and silver glitter all around. Silver in your pockets, it will just weigh you down. You can keep your silver, oh, but why? What would you do with all of the pleasures you'd buy? Love or poker, baby, everyone folds. You can be the winner, but I'm keeping my soul.
The Naked Harpist, live here at CFRU 90.3 FM on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. What were those songs again? That was a Drake cover? It was instrumental.
Yes, sorry, I should have mentioned that, I guess. Instrumental Drake cover, and then the second one was an original called Soul.
Yeah, I like that, your original piece.
Thanks.
Which, actually, I could lead in with... you play a lot of covers and seems like a lot of influences. Want to maybe talk about what music genres and individuals you like look after and take influence by?
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I mentioned earlier that I learned stuff from the radio, like that Dido song, and I really liked stuff around that era, like Alicia Keys and India Arie, Destiny's Child. I learned a lot of pretty much everything by Destiny's Child. But
so that's like the late 90s or like 90s era?
Yeah, like turning to be 2000. Mm. I would say I came of age around like 2001. So that was like in the thick of the slow jams coming in. Yeah. And then I really started writing music. I mentioned this to you earlier, but off air, that I think it was the Beastie Boys, actually, the very first band that I heard that I was like, I can write music, because I love the Beastie Boys, but it's not like extremely complex or talented. Like they rhyme the same word with the same, you know, with each other.
Oh, are you going to cause some controversy?
No, I just mean... I hope I don't offend any Beastie Boys fans, but I think it's important to remember sometimes, like, we idolize, like, musicians and the music we hear, like, on the radio or something like that, but it's actually pretty straightforward and anyone could do it. So, yeah, that's a good thing. It's a good thing about music, that it's accessible and that, you don't have to be educated to appreciate it. But I would say that's as much of an influence when I'm feeling like... sometimes I feel like my music isn't that good, or like I don't have anything to say that's as important as like these covers that I do. But then, you know, it takes a really bad band sometimes to make you realize like, yeah, you do have some valid stuff to contribute.
Yeah. Well, I believe like everyone has valid stories to tell, and in their own way, because everyone is completely different.
For sure.
So how do you usually compose your own music? Like, I guess, how do you start off with a song like Soul? How do you start off with that? How did you start that?
Well, I usually, my lyrics are, I write separate from my music. Like, I'll write my lyrics like a poem, just whatever, when it comes to me. They're mostly written in my notebook, like my school notebook. And so then when I'm at the harp later, I'll come up with something like a beat or some chords or whatever. Actually, the Soul that you mentioned, someone helped me come up with that accompaniment, Shannon Kingsbury, the harpist of Guelph, because she thought that that song sounded exactly like another song that I had written at, like in the same, within the same few days. I played her these two songs and she thought they sounded too similar, so I should either like combine them or make it distinct. So she suggested that bass line or a similar bass line, and it totally changed the song. So that's where I got that bass line from Soul. But yeah, they do, a lot of my songs will like kind of change like that, or I'll write them in my mind as like a rap song and then I'll bring it to the harp and maybe just take like one or two verses from that rap that I thought of and turn that into like a folk song.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's actually an interesting jump from hip hop to folk. Yeah, so does that mean do you listen to a wide variety of music as well then? From hip hop to folk to like even classical music?
I do, yeah. Especially like in the music program, that's like got me a lot more into the more classical types of stuff. But yeah, I listen to a lot of hip hop. I have a complicated relationship with performing hip hop because of race, and like only the YouTube viewers can see that I'm very white, and like to me rap is still like a really important tool for like a struggle that's still happening. So it's, you know, I have complicated feelings even about doing jazz covers and playing jazz music, but to me like jazz is still living as hip hop. And so it's if I play a cover of something like The Sunny Side of the Street and I explain just what it's about, then that's different than me taking that song and making it my own. And it's also no longer Jim Crow laws. Like, it's new struggles that we're fighting against. So I do feel like hip hop isn't for me, even though it is something that I love and want to promote and, you know, recommend those artists to other people. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's completely valid. So right now you are essentially a soloist, like you perform just yourself and with your harp. Do you, have you played with other, musicians or have done collaborations in the past?
Yeah, I love to collaborate with people. I am doing a collaboration with Wives Band right now, which is led by my friend Georgia. I'm going to be opening for her on September 27th, later this month. So, yeah, I think a lot of people, they need like a little bit of harp in their bands, but they can't fully support having a harpist in the band because it's a lot of work, you know, to support the harpist. I don't drive myself, so I need to get paid if I'm going to be playing gigs. Like, I got to get there on the public limousine or whatever. So I love to collaborate with other musicians, but I don't have like an ongoing project right now that I'm a part of, just myself, the naked harpist.
Or what was the kind of music that that band you mentioned plays?
Wives. It's I guess like spacey, alternative, poppy. It's like influenced by hip hop, and yeah. Well, you should go check it out. It's at Wives Music, I think. At Wives Noise is the Instagram handle.
And where are they from?
They're based out of Toronto, but the lead keyboardist, singer person is from Guelph. So that we actually went to high school together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And I think that, like that musical description, certainly would have space for a harp sound in it. So actually, in other than like performance, you also teach harp in Guelph. Why don't you tell us all about that?
Okay, well, yeah, I have some really awesome students in Guelph of all ages, and I do have some available space if there are folks out there listening who are interested in learning the harp. You don't have to have your own harp. I find that's like a big barrier for people starting because you can't just get a cheap one at a pawn shop like you could with a guitar or something.
How much is a harp, actually?
I recommend that people save up $1,000 when they're going to purchase their first harp, because you can totally find them for like under $1,000, but you're working with adding levers and getting it shipped in a case. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good jumping off point for like a really decent, smaller beginner harp. Yeah, there's all different stuff. So you can get like something called a harpsichord, which is a press board, factory made. Beautiful. They have beautiful colors, but they're like made of, they look like they're made of plastic. So those things weigh about 8 pounds. They're good for if you're traveling, but I really hope that people don't buy them as their first harp because they're not as much of a joy to play as these big resonant wood beasts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that I think the harpsichord, you can get a small harpsichord for like $400, which is the bare bones. But as I said, you're going to come up to more like 1,000 once you add on those levers and the shipping. So you should totally hold out for a nice artist-made harp on Kijiji. If people take care of them, they last really nicely. And they even develop a nice big belly over time. So they sound nicer, kind of like a violin would mature. So
yeah,
there you
excellent.
Go.
Excellent. So, that was the little detour there. So your classes?
Teach students of all ages.
Yeah, and how long have you been doing that?
I actually started about 15 years ago as a drum teacher, just because someone had asked me to teach their kids drum lessons.
Have you ever drummed before then?
Oh yeah, I had. I was the drummer for you can't play the harp in the school band and stuff like that. So I got first pick of instruments in grade 7, and obviously the drum set. So yeah, I was like a jazz drummer before I really got that into the harp in high school. Like harp was still my secret kind of thing. Like I never really brought it out. But yeah, I was really into the drums. I was in all these like jazz bands, and I was in a metal band actually, playing the drums. And then like on those slower breakdowns, I would like bust out the harp sometimes, and it would be really dramatic.
Oh, no, that would look awesome. It's very, very surprising.
Yeah. It's actually like, you know, when you hear harp and metal, like, yeah, it's like, okay, the harp is really metal. It just takes a minute to accept that.
Yeah.
But it is, especially if you can see this harp is like big.
Yeah. More symphonic metal maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll mention this at the end of this segment, but how can people contact you about lessons?
Okay, well, I've got this poppin' Instagram. It's all one word, The Naked Harpist. You can also find me on Facebook. My name's Leslie Shapiro, so it's like a picture of me with the harp. Can't miss it. And I think if you Google Guelph and harp in the same search, you're bound to find me there. So
maybe one of the first couple searches or search results.
Yeah, I do actually have a really old website that I tried to make like so many years ago. So like you can tell it's very outdated. My prices are like ridiculous because they're from like the late 90s. But that's me. And that has I still have the same contact information as that.
So, but I guess you prefer the social medias to be contacted.
Social media is the fastest way to get a response. I'm definitely like on Instagram all the time.
Same here.
Yeah.
So actually the main reason that I've invited you to play on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope is because this weekend you'll be playing in one of my new concert curations.
Yeah, I'm so excited. At the ANAF Club?
Yeah.
Now, is that the one on Gordon or the one on...
It is 32 Gordon Street.
Gordon. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a great venue. I've played there once before.
Mm-hmm. And How does it sound with the harp in there?
I think it sounds really good. I actually had the experience that I had there was really, really great. I had like made so many connections from that one concert. And there was like a moment where I played this song called Rain that I think I'm going to play for you later. But I started playing it and it started to pour rain outside and you could kind of hear the thunder and I could hear people. I didn't know what they were saying, like why, but they were like, we've got to get these doors open. And then I saw after that, while I was playing this song about rain, they had like thrown open the doors behind me and there was this like beautiful thunder and lightning storm and the water was like rushing down. So yeah, I remember it as that. And it's like this really cathartic song too. So yeah.
Oh, sir. A great natural coincidence there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would want it to rain on this weekend, but...
Yeah, well, I'll write a song maybe like about sunny weather or something, like a really warm autumn.
Yeah.
Stays warm and mild all year. That'll be the song this time.
Yeah, autumn is my favorite season.
Cool. Oh, yeah, and this is an autumn-themed program. Isn't it?
Well, I guess I'll go into it a bit, but I want to do focus more on you. So the it's all right. The concert is the whole concert I've called Reverie of Dreams, Reverie of Peace, because it's Saturday, September 21st. This 21st is International Day of Peace.
Oh, cool.
So I thought it's. I guess a way to bring people together and be in good spirits and support each other and promote goodwill and peace amongst each other.
Cool.
So if you will allow me to go through the whole information for the concert. It'll be this Saturday, September 21st at the ANAF Club. Doors at 8:30. Music will start approximately at 9:00. Which I believe, Leslie, you'll be opening for the show. I hope that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a 19-plus event, as well as a safe space event. Physically accessible, $10, or pay what you can. You will not be thrown out for lack of funds. And also, no hats policy there.
Should people be buying tickets in advance, or this is like an at-the-door kind of thing?
So this is my concert hosting, and I've only started doing these shows in just May of this year, so I have not gone on to that level of physical tickets yet. So it's just arrived with the money.
Awesome.
Yeah, with the admission. And yeah, I believe, do you have any merch, actually?
I guess I have some old t-shirts I could bust out that say The Naked Harpist, if you think there's going to be merch. I know the other Nick is doing merch.
Pressed by Nick.
Pressed by Nick, yep.
Yeah, he's going to be there vending, as well as my sound tech buddy, Jesse. He's bringing his Glue Gun Records distribution box as well. And also, I have a few stuff of my own and a little section for CFRU donations. Like a lot of artists have donated their music and merchandise to me to sell at shows for all the donations will go right to CFRU.
Cool. That sounds great.
And actually, like certainly for you, Leslie, there will be, you'll be in good company, string company. There's going to be two cellists.
Oh, cool. What do you want to tell, like, what the other bands are that are going to be performing?
Oh, yeah. So they'll be you, The Naked Harpist, another half Guelph band, The Waverleys. So they are alternative folk duo, and Charlotte is the cellist.
Cool.
Art the Band, which is a jazz fusion band coming all the way from Toronto. And then the main headliner will be La Greffe, who are coming all the way from Montreal. And Mary is the cellist in that band.
Cool. Yeah, I'm really excited to hear all those bands perform.
Yeah, I'm really excited how this lineup turned up and happy to host you all together. I think we are nearing the end of our time here on this 20th audience in the observational tower on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. Is there anything, Leslie, that I've missed that you might want to relay to our good sentries to end off?
No, I guess I just hope everyone has a wonderful semester, and thanks, Nick, for inviting me on the show.
It's been a great pleasure to have you, Leslie. And actually, so to reiterate again, how can our listeners and viewers get in touch with you?
Okay, so my Instagram is The Naked Harpist, all one word. If you're a student at the University of Guelph, you can hit me up through Griffmail, L. Shapiro. I guess anyone can do that. It's lshapiro@uoguelph.ca. I also have Facebook, Leslie Shapiro, and you can Google me, and I will do my best to respond to you. And if you are trying to get in touch with me and you think I'm ignoring you, please keep trying. I'm just so bad at, you know, I think anything that's important, I think, oh, I'll get back to that later. And then it totally just flies out of my mind. So
no, that's happened a bunch of times with me as well. You are not alone. I guess now I usually ask these for all artists. Is there any words of wisdom you want to tell everyone?
Ooh, my words of wisdom are, like, in terms of music?
Or anything, music, life, beyond anything.
Well, I think it's taken me a long time to, like, come to accept that music is a thing for me, that I do, like, that I can do music, and even if it's not like that I want to be a pop star, that I can still put my music out there and connect with people in that way. So whatever your passion is, whether it's music or an art or just like other stuff that you like doing, do it. You're good at it, and go for it. It's never too late. That's my advice.
That is very good advice indeed.
Thanks.
Thank you, Leslie, for being on the show with me. What are the last pieces that you'll be playing for us?
Well, I'm going to play a piece called Rain. And as an introduction, I'm going to play Rain by Rodney Sharman. Actually, his piece is called Listening to Rain. So I'll just go right from one into the next. And then do you want to fade me out at the end of the song? You don't have
sure.
to. I was just realizing that the last few songs I played, I didn't know how to end them. So that's cool. I'll do a manual fade out.
Sure, that'll work.
Okay.
Work. Yes, and so this is The Naked Harpist here performing live at the studio here at CFRU 93.3 FM. Again, thank you for being here with us, Leslie.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. And looking forward to seeing everyone at our show this Friday night at the ANAF Club.
Saturday.
This Saturday. Okay, sorry.
Saturday, September 21st.
Awesome. You can meet me and Nick.
And all the good people there.
Yeah.
Yeah, come say hi to us.
Mm-hmm, and bring that cash for merch. Okay. away the sins from all these years. Make me wet, let me be free, free from misery and all these fears. Everything you